Hare Krishna. Very happy to be here again at the Bhaktivedanta Manor amongst all the wonderful devotees here. And I would like to seek the blessings of the senior devotees here before I say a few words, and in fact all through my stay here. Is this the canto going on now, or is it just because of Narasimha Chaturdashi you're doing this? Oh, the canto, seventh canto going on, wonderful, very timely. That just in preparation for Narasimha Chaturdashi, we're discussing here from the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This chapter is entitled Hiranyakashipu's Plans to Become Immortal. And this morning I would just like to give a brief background to the reason why Hiranyakashipu is the way he is. It's quite interesting that in the world around us, we always observe everything happening by the theory of cause and effect. We can never see an effect that is existent without it having a cause. Whether it be the world, how it's running around, whether it be how our consciousness is, whether it be how our Krishna consciousness, how our devotional services, every effect is preceded by a cause. And therefore, the way Hiranyakashipu is, the way he deals with life, the way he looks at life, the way he does things in his life, is all the effect of a cause. And what I'm looking into this morning is just trying to analyze the cause behind why Hiranyakashipu is the way he is. It is explained that Kashyapa Muni is a Prajapati, a progenitor, who is responsible for populating the universe. Out of the many Prajapatis that Lord Brahma creates, one of them is Kashyapa Muni. And Kashyapa is responsible for populating the universe. Kashyapa has several wives. One of his wives is Kadru. And from Kadru, the serpents are born. One of his wives is Vinata. From Vinata, Garuda, the king of birds, is born. One of his wives is Diti. From Diti, the Daityas, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu are born. One of his wives is Aditi, from whom the Adityas, the Devatas, are born, and Vamanadeva also appears. So he is responsible for populating the whole universe. Now in the Sanskrit language, words are very powerful. And if we do not take note of those words, we probably miss out on the very deeper meaning which is hidden, underlying in these words. Every name, every title is given based on the particular character the personality has. Modern day and age, names are not so much relevant to the character of the person. But in the Vedic times, then the names are always relevant to the character of the person. In Mumbai recently, one of our devotees, his sister got a daughter, and a son. And the son was named Chil. I mean, that's kind of too far out. You know, he's coming from a Gujarati Pushtimargi family, you know, Vaishnava family. And the name that the son is given is Chil. And all through the life, the mother and father are going to keep saying Chil, 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 Chil. And at the end of life, I don't know what, you know, you probably say Chil when life ends. Ajamil was fortunate. He named his son Narayan. So at the end of his life, he could call him Narayan. But how do you call someone Chil, you know? Constantly there, Chil, Chil, Chil. But it's quite funny, even in India today, you know, you have parents giving children names like Chil. Thanks to Srila Prabhupada, that here in the Western world, even our devotees who are born, coming from the Western background, they're giving their children names, you know, Chaitanya and Krishna and Gokulananda and so many amazing names. But then when we look into the Vedic culture, each name has a significance behind it. Kashyapa, if you just see the word Kashyapa, the name Kashyapa, when reverted or turned back, becomes Pashyaka. Kashyapa is Pashyaka. And Pashyaka means to see, the observer, one who can observe, one who can see, one who can look. And what does it mean to be an expert observer? What does it mean to be an expert seer? To be an expert observer, to be an expert seer means to see four things. First, to be able to see the presence of the soul and the super soul in everyone's heart. One who is able to see that beyond the body, that a person is the Atma accompanied by the Paramatma, is Pashyaka, a seer, the observer. Pashyaka or observer also means one who can see the presence of Krishna in everything in the world, not just in a person, not just in a living being, but in his energies, everywhere, everything he can see the presence of Krishna. Pashyaka or the observer also means that one can see Krishna in every situation of life. He can see Krishna's hand in every situation of life. And Pashyaka or observer also means one who can see Krishna's will and one who can tune his will to Krishna's will. So being an observer or being Pashyaka means these four things. Seeing soul and super soul in everyone's heart. Seeing Krishna in his energies. Seeing Krishna in every situation in life. And learning how to see Krishna's will in life. And tune one's will with Krishna. So Kashyapa Muni, his name inverted back is Pashyaka. And Pashyaka means these four things. To be able to see these things. And Kashyapa is very expert in seeing these, being a Pashyaka, an observer in all these four ways. And if you carefully see, the Gita also explains that one must learn how to see the soul and the super soul in everyone's heart. Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmani Gavi Hastini Shuni Chaiva Shvapakecha Pandita Samadarshina. One sees the presence of the soul in a dog eater, in a dog, in an elephant, in a Brahmana, in a learned man. Right. Everyone, one is able to see the presence of the soul and the super soul in everyone's heart. Shukadeva Goswami, when he leaves home and Vyasadeva is running after him, we find all of these ladies who are bathing there. And Shukadeva Goswami passes by, but the ladies do not bother to cover themselves or dress themselves. And when Vyasadeva passes by, they immediately cover themselves. So Vyasadeva is stunned. He's an elderly man. Shukadeva Goswami is a young man. And he asks these ladies, when my son passed by, he's a 16-year-old teenager, you didn't cover yourselves. And when I was good to be your father, your grandfather probably, and you covered yourself, why is that? He said, because your son is a liberated soul. He does not see the bodies. He sees the presence of the soul. He's a Pashyaka, an observer, because he can see only the soul and the super soul beyond the bodies. Srila Prabhupada was such a Pashyaka, such an observer, who always saw beyond the body. He never saw the body. Srila Prabhupada, when he was in America, San Francisco, there was a gentleman, I can't pronounce the name right, I don't know how to pronounce it right, the spelling is weird, it's called Lau Gottlieb. I have no clue how to pronounce that, but that's how I just put the words together. He was running a hippie commune just close by in San Francisco. It was called the Morning Star Ranch. And the 1st of April 1967, this gentleman came to meet Srila Prabhupada and he invited Prabhupada to come to the Morning Star Ranch. Now what was interesting about the Morning Star Ranch was that it was a naked hippie commune where people there didn't put a single piece of cloth on their body. You know, and Srila Prabhupada was invited to give a talk there. Now, that's really far out, because if we were to go and give a talk to a group of people who were absolutely unclothed, there are only two responses. Either one is disgusted or one is agitated. There can only be two responses in such a situation. Srila Prabhupada was invited to come to this place. And people here were kind of very friendly to each other. They grew vegetables and they worshipped the sun. They would hold each other's hands and try to listen to the sound of the air. You know, that's what they were doing. And Srila Prabhupada arrived here and saw a group of good 100 people who all of them were unclothed. And there's one man sitting there. His name was Herbie Bersack. And Prabhupada went there, no clothes on his body. He was growing potatoes. Prabhupada went there and he asked him, what are you doing? What is the goal of your life? He said, I'm growing potatoes. Prabhupada says, is that what you're going to do in your life? Did you ever think of what you want to do in your life ultimately? And this man went blank. He never thought what to do in life. Prabhupada said, okay, if you don't know, come, we'll teach you. He put clothes on and came back to the San Francisco temple. And he became a disciple of Srila Prabhupada later. But Prabhupada went there and gave a talk, gave a class to all of these people, none of whom had a single piece of cloth on their bodies. And Prabhupada was supposed to tell them, you're not the body, you're the soul. Not so easy. So Srila Prabhupada was also Pashyaka, just always seeing beyond the body, not just seeing the body, seeing the presence of the Atma, the soul in the body, presence of the super soul in the body, and therefore not affected by the surroundings around. Now it's not... Yes. Oh, really? Oh. Thank you, Prabhu. So, Srila Prabhupada, also Pashyaka, observing only the soul and the super soul. The second is, Pashyaka also means to be able to see Krishna's presence in everything around, in all the energies of Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada always gave the example of how a mother, when she sees the shoes of a child, then immediately she's thinking of the child. Simply by seeing the shoes, the mother's thinking everything about the child. My child is so wonderful. My child is so good. I remember when I joined the temple, my mother had to shift from the house to go to another house. And they moved from the house simply because she just could not take all the memories associated. Every little thing would remind her, she said, you know, of everything from the childhood, you know, how we grew up there. So Prabhupada gave the example that when you see shoes of the mother sees the shoes of the child, then the mother is reminded of the child. Similarly, a devotee, Prabhupada said, when he sees anything, Krishna's energies, is immediately reminded of Krishna. A devotee's heart is like a room filled with petrol, filled fuel, explosive fuel. And one little sight of anything around is like a small spark of fire that enters in there. And if a small spark of fire enters into a room filled with fuel, then there is explosion. That in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is called Uddipana. Uddipana means a small thing anywhere around, a devotee sees, a great soul sees, creates memory of Krishna, remembrance of Krishna. Suddenly there is feeling in his heart. Just like a spark of fire in a petrol room. Immediately there is explosion. So a devotee remembers Krishna practically everywhere and is able to see Krishna in every aspect of life. Srila Prabhupada was in Los Angeles and he was looking at the sky and he asked the devotees, why is the sky blue? And the devotees were speculating. And Srila Prabhupada said, the sky is blue because Krishna is blue. He saw the sky and he saw Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada was sitting in the garden in the Los Angeles temple. And as he was sitting there, he said, I feel like I'm sitting on Krishna's hand. He saw the Mother Earth as Krishna's hand. And as they were walking once, there was a cool breeze blowing. And Srila Prabhupada said, I feel like I'm in Krishna's embrace. So Srila Prabhupada was observing Krishna's presence in all the energies of Krishna. Pashyaka. Not just seeing the soul and the super soul, but also seeing Krishna's presence in all his energies. And then being Pashyaka or observer also means to see Krishna's presence in each situation in life. To see Krishna's hand in every situation in life. Parikshit Maharaj, when he was cursed by Sringi, he did not simply see that as a curse. Parikshit Maharaj saw Sringi's curse as Krishna. He saw that as Krishna's form. He saw Krishna coming in the form of that curse. And in one of the verses of the Bhagavatam, he calls Krishna's curse as Dvija Shapa Rupa. My dear Lord, you have taken Matsya Rupa, the form of a fish incarnation. My dear Lord, you've also taken Kurma Rupa, the form of a tortoise incarnation. And you've taken so many Rupas, but this time you've come to give me Darshan in a different Rupa. Dvija Shapa Rupa, in the form of the Dvija Shapa, the curse of this Brahmana. Parikshit Maharaj could see the curse of Sringi as Krishna reincarnated to bring him closer to him. And this is Pashyaka. To be able to see the situation in life as Krishna coming to help us to advance. as Krishna coming to help us to grow in our Krishna consciousness. Not easy, of course. Parikshit Maharaj is a great soul, a pure devotee. He can see that. Not easy. But that is what Pashyaka means. And Srila Prabhupada was also like this. Able to see every situation as Krishna's hands. Srila Prabhupada said that I was tested twice. First, when everything was taken away from me. And then later, when everything was given to me. But I always took shelter of Krishna. I always took that as an arrangement of Krishna. When Prabhupada was a grihastha, his business practically went, he went bankrupt. Everything was lost. And Prabhupada said, I had a hearty laugh. I just laughed. And all people around me were bewildered. How am I laughing? I was just laughing. And Prabhupada said, I was laughing because I saw that is Krishna coming in my life. Yasyaham anugrahanami harishyetad dhanam shane. He said, I saw Krishna's taken everything away from me so that he could draw me closer to him. So he said, I just had a laugh when everything was taken away. So again, here we find Prabhupada Paschaka seeing Krishna's hand in every situation in his life. And then fourth is to see Krishna's will and how one can tune oneself with Krishna's will. And we find Srila Prabhupada always seeing how Krishna's will in everything that happened in his life. Prabhupada read the purport of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur to 241, Vyavasayatmika Buddhi. And he was very inspired by that purport Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Vyavasayatmika Buddhi, resolute determination, means to make the spiritual master's words one's life and soul. And Prabhupada took that statement as his inspiration to go to the West and start the Krishna consciousness movement. He could see Krishna's will in this line of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and the whole ISKCON society was founded on this. So Kashyapa Muni, who is a Prajapati, when reverted back, is Paschaka. And he is an observer or a seer in all these four ways. Two of his wives, his first wife is called Diti. And Diti means one who cuts, one who divides, one who differentiates. Diti has a differential attitude. Kashyapa is Paschaka, the observer of these four things that we discussed. But Diti has a differential attitude. She cannot see the Lord's will as her will. Kashyapa can see the Lord's will as his own will, but Diti cannot see the Lord's will as her own will. She is overwhelmed by her desires and she approaches Kashyapa Muni at a wrong time to beget progeny. But because her attitude is differentiated, cut, divided, she has her own agenda, she has her own desires, she has her own plans, she has her own ambitions when she approaches Kashyapa Muni. Kashyapa advises her, no, you should not do this. It's not the right time to do these things. It's not the right way to beget children. But she doesn't care. Her will prevails over the Lord's will. Instead of the Lord's will prevailing over her will prevails over the Lord's will. And with the differentiated attitude, she approaches Kashyapa. And the progeny that is born is Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. And both of them are born with the same attitude as Diti. They cannot see. The father has the ability to see things properly. But because the mother did not have the ability to see things properly, the children who were born, because the mother's consciousness was so prominent, differentiated attitude, even the children, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, who were born, could not see the Lord's will as their own will. The father had the ability to see that. He's Paschaka. Kashyapa Paschaka. But Diti, because the mother had not cut, differentiated, divided, could not see it together, could not make the Lord's will her own will. Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, who were born of Diti and Kashyapa, also have the same attitude. In fact, all the Daityas have the same attitude. Prabhupada always quoted this verse. Vishnu Bhakta Smrito Deva Asurastad Vipanyaya. Who is an Asura or a Daitya? An Asura or a Daitya is a person who has a differentiated attitude from the Lord. He does not want to live by the will of the Lord. He does not want to serve the will of the Lord. That is a Daitya. Conversely, we have Aditi. Diti means to cut, to divide, to differentiate. Aditi means to unite, to harmonize, not to divide, not to differentiate. She is willing to see things the way her husband sees. She is willing to also make her will the Lord's will. And therefore her children are called the Adityas, the demigods. Of course, Vamanadeva also comes as her child. And the Adityas, they learn how to make their will the Lord's will. That is the demigods, the Suras, who have always learned to make their will the Lord's will. Sometimes they go a little haywire, sometimes, you know, they may have their desires, some mixed karma mishra bhaktas, mixed devotees may get their own desires. But ultimately, they always want to make their will the Lord's will. And this is a very important principle and a very powerful lesson here. Lord Ramchandra, he appeared in this world on the Navami, the ninth day of the month of Chaitra. And the star that was prominent in its constellation during his appearance was Punarvasu. It's a very interesting point here. The star Punarvasu is a star where Mother Aditi is the predominating deity of the star. Aditi presides over the star Punarvasu. And therefore they say, since Aditi had that ability to see everything like her husband Kashyapa equally, therefore, according to a lot of people, a lot of commentators, Lord Ramchandra also had an equal vision like his mother Aditi, because he appeared, you know, in the under the constellation Punarvasu. A powerful lesson that can be learned from this particular episode of Kashyapa, Diti and Aditi is that the spiritual master is Pashyaka, is an observer. He is giving his mercy equally to everyone. But the disciple can be Diti or Aditi. Kashyapa Muni represents the spiritual master. And Diti and Aditi represent the disciples. The spiritual master may be very well qualified. The spiritual master may be very exalted, like Kashyapa Muni here. The observer, very, very powerful. But how the disciple progresses in his life and what will be born out of the relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple depends on the disciple. Who is born out of the relationship between Kashyapa and Diti and Kashyapa and Aditi can be very obviously seen. One time Srila Prabhupada was sitting and there was a little boy, 12-year-old, his name was Vishal. He came to Srila Prabhupada and he said, "Prabhupada, I have a question for you." And Prabhupada said, "Yes, what is your question?" He said, "Prabhupada, why do you give so much mercy to Tamal?" Tamal Krishna Maharaj was a brahmachari. He said, "Why do you give so much mercy to Tamal?" Srila Prabhupada paused for a while and said, "I give my mercy equally to everyone. Tamal has learned how to take it very well. You know, and therefore, he gets so much mercy." So spiritual master is giving training, is giving bhakti, is giving knowledge, is giving his grace and mercy equally to everyone. Like Kashyapa is willing to give his time and attention equally to Diti and Aditi. But how Diti and Aditi take it is what results into Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha and the Adityas and Vamanadev. Similarly, how a disciple takes the mercy of the spiritual master decides what will be born out of that relationship. Jai Shri Radha Gokulanand ki jai. Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Shri Shri Nitai Gaur Chandra Bhagwan ki jai. And therefore, this is a very, very powerful lesson that we can learn from here, that the relationship between the spiritual master and the disciple can only fructify fully into what is desired if the disciple is in that spirit to take the mercy, like Aditi is in a spirit to take it from Kashyapa Muni. And then of course, here in this chapter we are reading how Hiranyakashipu is performing austerities and is wanting to become immortal. And in this particular verse we are reading how Brahma is saying that who within these three worlds can sustain without drinking any water? But you have sustained without drinking any water, you have sustained without eating anything, and therefore I have come here now, ask what you want. And Prabhupada writes in his purport that there are yogis in the world who do not drink even a drop of water and they can sustain their lives. Recently, I do not know if the news is known here, Recently in Gujarat, there has been this man whose name is Prahlad Jani. You know, he's 80 years old man. And for the last over 70 odd years, he's not eaten a grain of food and not drunk a drop of water. It's absolutely no water, no food, and he's surviving healthily. And in those days, if you would not drink water or food, you would be a yogi. Today, if you don't drink water and food and survive, you are God. You know, so everyone's calling him Mataji. They call him Mataji, and you know, he's sitting with his hands raised and blessing people also. So, just in Satya Yoga, someone would do these kind of austerities. At best, you could get Brahma. You know, and now if you do these austerities, you get all these television channels coming to you. All the newspaper reporters coming to you. Hey, how are you surviving? And there are scientists from all over the world who are coming there and trying to do research to find out what is the secret. What is the secret based on which he's able to survive without a single drop of water, without a single drop of a single grain of food for the last over 70 years now. And the armed forces all over, they are trying to see what is the science behind it. Because they want to manipulate and, you know, kind of redo that technology amongst all the armed forces so that when they are on the battlefield, when they are fighting, there's nothing to eat, nothing to drink, so they can still survive, if not for 70 years, at least for 70 days. So they're all trying to find out what the secret of all those austerities are and how, you know, what the secret of this power is. Hiranyakashipu here is performing these austerities. But these austerities are all meant for only one thing, and that is to enhance his sense gratification. He wants to be three things here. The first verse says he wants to become amara, he wants to become immortal. But what is the point in being immortal? Someone might become immortal, might live forever, but if he is conquered by old age, then no point. So he wants to also become ajara. Amara is immortal. But simply being immortal is no good. So he wants to be ajara. He doesn't want to be old. He wants to be young forever. And you might be immortal and one might even be young. But what is the use if someone comes and defeats? So he wants to become ajaya. He doesn't want to be defeated by anyone. So the first three words here are ajaya, ajara, amara. He wants to be unconquered by anyone. He wants to be young. And he wants to be immortal. And to this effect, he is performing all of these austerities. But all simply meant to enhance his sense gratification. In the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Rishabhdev explains what the purpose of austerity should be. Nayam deho deha bhajam driloke kashtan kaman arhate vidbhujanhe. This human life, he says, is not simply meant to work hard and simply fulfill one's desires, but it's meant for tapaha, meant for austerity. What kind of tapaha? Divya tapaha. Transcendental austerity, and the purpose of this transcendental austerity is sattvam shuddhet, purification of one's existence. Austerity is meant for purification of existence, and when one purifies one's existence by the performance of austerity, then brahma saukhyam tu anantam, one can experience unending bliss. In this world, there is no dearth of austerities that one can take. There is austerity practically in every sphere of life, but it is forced austerity. There is no choice we have. People working outside have to work for 12, 14 hours, sometimes not getting time to eat, and it is an austerity. But it is a forced austerity. And Srila Prabhupada defined austerity or tapa as a voluntary choice to exercise one's free will, to give up something or voluntarily accept some inconvenience to be able to achieve a higher purpose in life. And that is sattvam shuddhet, purification of one's existence. Here of course we find Hiranyakashipu performing these austerities, but all of these austerities are simply meant to enhance his sense gratification and controllership. In the fourth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find the episode of Dhruva, and Dhruva also goes to the forest, and even he is standing in a similar way like Hiranyakashipu is, on one foot and holding his head, hands high above his head. But there are several differences there. Firstly, Hiranyakashipu is performing austerities for Lord Brahma, and Dhruva is performing his austerities for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Vishnu. And therefore, at the end of it all, Dhruva becomes a devotee. When one's austerities are in connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then eventually one will end up becoming a devotee of the Lord. When one's austerities are in connection with a demigod, one might get one what one wants, but one may not become a worshipper of the Supreme Lord. Secondly, Hiranyakashipu's austerities, they're simply meant to torture the universe. If you read carefully here, he wants to reverse the plan that the Lord has created. He wants to change the course of the world. He wants to change the laws of nature. Dhruva, his austerities were not meant to change the course of the world. His austerities were not meant to torture others. His austerities were meant simply to gain for himself. He wanted to gain a position greater than his great-grandfather, Brahma. And that's the reason he went to the forest to perform his austerities. And Hiranyakashipu, finally, you know, his austerities have been benedicted by Lord Brahma. That whatever you will not be killed by in the day, in the night, this and that. But ultimately, the Lord comes and foils his plan as Narsimhadev. He comes and kills Hiranyakashipu. So his life is finished. Whereas when Dhruva, he performs his austerities under the guidance of his spiritual master Narad Muni, then he gets darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu gives him power. Hiranyakashipu wants power, but Narsimhadev spoils it by killing him. His desire is gone, it's finished. Dhruva came to Lord Vishnu for power, and when he saw Lord Vishnu, Lord Narayan, his desires for having a kingdom greater than his great-grandfather Brahma, gone. I do not want anything, my dear Lord. But the Lord benedicted him with all power, all control. Take it and rule over the pole star, Dhruvatara, right? Shvetadvip, for 36,000 years. So here was a personality who performed austerities to get power. But because they were directed towards Lord Vishnu, he was purified. He didn't want it, and Lord said, take it. Here was a personality, Hiranyakashipu, who performed his austerities towards a demigod to get power. But Lord Narsimhadev came and finished him. Srila Prabhupada, in this fourth canto purports, explains that what austerities Dhruva had to go through, we do not have to go through. Srila Prabhupada in fact says, even if we want to go through, we cannot go through these austerities. Such severe austerities, fasting practically from food or water, and standing on one leg, holding one's hands above the head, chanting Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, and for Hiranyakashipu Om Brahmaya Nama. One can't do such kind of austerities in this age of Kali Yuga. Srila Prabhupada explained in that purport that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to make these austerities very simple for us. The only thing one needs to do is to chant, Hare Krishna, Prabhupada says, and follow the path of Krishna consciousness. If one can take this austerity, then one can become immortal. This chapter is entitled Hiranyakashipu's Plan to Become Immortal. To become immortal, one does not have to take austerities like these, Prabhupada explains. One can become immortal by the simple process of Krishna consciousness. And the two greatest austerities in this age of Kali Yuga, one is to keep chanting Hare Krishna and keep our faith going in the process of Krishna consciousness. And the second is to cooperate and live together in harmony. Prabhupada said these are the two greatest austerities that one can take in this age of Kali Yuga. And therefore, if one can take these two austerities, maintain one's chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra in the association of devotees, and learn how to live in harmony and cooperation with devotees, Srila Prabhupada said your love will be shown how you cooperate with each other in pushing forward this mission. If one can take this austerity, then all of these other austerities doesn't matter much. Someone asked Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada, what about this macrobiotic diets? And someone had started all of these macrobiotic diets, some of his followers, and they were eating just some green leaves and drinking some carrot juices. And Srila Prabhupada said, oh, we already have 16 rounds and the four regulative principles, why add more? Srila Prabhupada never emphasized too much on austerity in terms of, eating and all of that. Prabhupada introduced a lot of feasts, and his Sunday program was called the Sunday Love Feast. He did not focus so much on the fasting and all of that side. The main austerity that he emphasized on was cooperation and trying to chant and serve in the association of devotees. And when we learn how to do that, then our plans to become immortal will definitely be successful. Hiranyakashipu's plans to become immortal are foiled by Narasimhadev when he comes and he kills Hiranyakashipu. All his plans are totally futile. But if we learn how to do these austerities, then definitely our plans to become immortal will be successful by the blessings of Srila Prabhupada and the Vaishnavas. So here we are reading these verses from the 7th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam as a preparation to Narasimha Chaturdashi coming soon. And we will hear from senior devotees how Lord Narasimhadev comes and spoils Hiranyakashipu's plans to become immortal. So just to recapitulate what we discussed this morning, we were discussing primarily two or three points. First is, we were discussing the relationship between Kashyapa, Diti and Aditi, the background to the birth of Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. Kashyapa means reverted, the word reverted, Pashyaka, observer who can see four things. One who can see the presence of the soul and the super soul in everyone. Secondly, one who can see Krishna in all his energies. Thirdly, one who can see Krishna's hand in every situation. Fourth, one who can see Krishna's will and tune oneself to his will. His wife Diti means one. Diti means one who is differentiated, cut, divided, not to harmonize, not to see the Lord's will. And therefore Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu are born with that consciousness. Aditi means one who harmonizes, one who unites, one who can see the Lord's will as one, her own will. And therefore the sons who are born are the Aditya, the demigods, who are also wanting to live by the Lord's will. And the lesson we learned was how the spiritual master is equally disposed to all disciples, but what will come out of that relationship depends on how the disciple relates to the spiritual master and takes that mercy. And then of course we discussed how austerities, the purpose of austerities is spiritual purification and not sense gratification as described by Rishabhdev. And finally, we concluded by discussing how the austerities for this age of Kali, based on the episode of Dhruva, is not simply not eating or eating, not simply doing some yoga asanas or no asanas, but is primarily maintaining one's chanting in the company of devotees and learning how to cooperate in a harmonious spirit to serve Srila Prabhupada's mission. And if we do that, then Srila Prabhupada blesses us in our plans to become immortal, unlike Hiranyakashipu's plans to be immortal, which are foiled by Lord Narasimhadev. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.